Rep 242?
243. This is last week's intro.
Hope you guys enjoyed. It was brought to you by our good friends at Unchained Capital right down the hall. Hear from me in the Bitcoin comments. They've got this new inheritance protocol. Yesterday on TFTC, I called it a retirement protocol, but it's not right. It's inheritance. Retirement to the afterlife protocol, as we're running with right now. If you're a Bitcoiner out there, you've got Bitcoin. You've got it in self-custody. But you're the Uncle Jim of your family. Your wife doesn't know what to do. Your husband doesn't know what to do. Your parents don't know what to do. Your kids don't know what to do. You're holding the keys by yourself, holding that burden. You tell your wife, hey, if anything happens to me, go call Matt. He'll know what to do. How confident can you be that Matt will know what to do? Probably going to want something more ironclad than that. And that's what our friends at Unchained Capital have developed with their inheritance protocol. So if you are a Bitcoin holder who would like to pass down your sats to your family members and are looking for the product to do that, Unchained has built it for you. They've also built their Vault product or 203 multisig, their IRA product, an IRA that allows you to hold your own keys, a trading desk, lending desk. Everybody's pretty hot down there too. I don't know if you've noticed that, Logan. Have you ever peeped down the hall?
On occasion.
Pretty hot company they got there at Unchained Capital.
Sure.
A lot of... Okay, there we go. Go to unchained.com. Last consultation. Use the code RHR or TFTC. Set up a consultation for the Vault Inheritance Protocol. Learn about their trading desk, their IRA. Do it all. Hit them up. Hit the hot people up. This was also brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. CoinKite is here to build the best hardware in the space. We've got the beautiful block clock right next to me. Currently reading $23,428. It's the Bitcoin price, according to the block clock right now. We've got their MK4 wallet out there. We talked about the big update of the MK4. This week, Matt was all hot and bothered by the new feature that makes it so if you actually want to access your wallet, you have to have the micro SD chip in there. And if it's not in there and somebody tries to put their pin in, poof, wipes it. It's just like one of many cool features that the team at CoinKite is building into their cold card wallets. MK4 is top of the line. It's got two secure elements. You create private public key pairs offline in an air gap fashion. You can add entropy those private keys by rolling dice. It's NFC enabled. They also have NFC enabled card form factors in the tap signer, and the SATS card tap signer is a key, NFC enabled key on this credit card form factor. Use it with compatible apps like Nunchuck. Tap it on the back of your phone. You assign the key so you can separate your mobile device with a wallet. You can receive Bitcoin there. Then if you want to send Bitcoin, need the mobile wallet and your tap sign, your tap broadcast. SATS card similar, NFC enabled card form factor, but it's more similar. It's more akin to the Open Dime, which allows you to load it up with Bitcoin. You tap it on the back of your phone, you click the link to the browser, boom, address associated with that SATS card pops up. You load it up, you go to a wedding, you go to your bookie, go to coinkite.com, use the code RHR. Still don't know if we have a code. Enjoy this, Rip Freaks. It's a long one, but a very good one. Dickie.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
When you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Matt, is it happening? Is it happening, Matt? Matt, are you there? Are you with us? I was telling
Can you hear me? Mandibles.
I was telling Michael before we recorded we could have the shortest podcast over just ever, just cold open. You say mandibles, I say it's happening, and then boom. we get out of here.
Not coordinated.
What's happening? I don't know, Michael. Is Silvergate okay? Silvergate does not seem to be okay.
So should we go through what happened this week?
Yeah. Let's do it.
So Silvergate is liquidating, right? And now it looks like SVB is going under, Silicon Valley Bank. But they're like a 40-year-old bank, right? They're a massive bank. What, 18th largest bank in the country by assets under management? I guess Peter Thiel just like incited a bank run there, told everyone to withdraw their money yesterday. What?
Rugged them. Is it One Republic or New Republic?
First Republic.
They're down 50% right now.
And their trading is halted. So Signature Bank's trading is halted. They're down, what, like 20% or something?
Other banks are down pretty significantly. Seems like we're in the midst of a contagion event, like a pretty serious one.
Seems like people are starting to realize that the banks don't actually have any money.
Yeah, and that treasuries are shitcoins, Ponzi scheme shitcoins. So I think that's an important place to start. Like, what is happening? Obviously, there are banks going down left and right. Like Matt mentioned, Silvergate went down. Silicon Valley Bank trading is halted. First Republic trading is halting. If you look at CNBC, all the analysts and their guests are trying to say that this is confined to regional banks, niche banks like Silvergate, SVB, First Republic. But what's driving this sell-off of bank stocks and these runs on these banks? And it seems to be the capital requirements that were instituted post-Dodd-Frank essentially dictate that 15% or some percentage of these banks' liquid reserves need to be allocated to treasuries with certain durations. And that seems to be the problem. A lot of people are trying to say Silvergate and the crypto industry started the banking run, but it actually, if you dig into it, it seems like the capital requirements that force these banks to hold a certain mix of treasuries coupled with the aggressive rate hikes from the Fed, which has driven down the value of those liquid reserves held in treasuries, seems to be creating a liquidity crisis in the banking sector. Yes, it's starting with quote-unquote regional and niche banks like Silvergate and Silicon Valley Bank, but I don't think that contagion will be confined to this class of bank, especially if the Fed doesn't step in today, which I think would be wise on their part, because if you let this simmer over the weekend, it's not going to look good on Monday.
Well, the weekend's kind of nice, right? Because it freezes withdrawals automatically.
Yeah.
Then you're going to have all that money in there. I mean, it's crazy. Like, it just goes to show how early we are that, you know, Bitcoin dumps on this news. Because, I mean, if I had any money in any bank, I would just immediately convert it into Bitcoin. And obviously, it seems like most market participants are doing the opposite. Why are they selling their Bitcoin and putting it in the bank? They're going to get rugged.
Think about that. Like, train of logic. The banks, there's a run on the banks right now. You're worried about the price of Bitcoin, so you dump it to lock in a loss and then convert it into cash, which is about to get rugged. Not a wise man. I tweeted out right before we went live. Like, I honestly believe I said it in the context of Bitcoin companies, just thinking like Signature is looking a little wobbly right now. Silvergate was obviously a massive bank for the industry. A lot of industry players are banked at Silicon Valley Bank. It honestly, I think, would be a good move from a company perspective if you have cash at any of these banks.
Yeah, obviously.
Buy Bitcoin and take possession of it.
Yeah, hold self-custody. Like, don't, like, leave it on fucking exchange. That doesn't help.
Yeah.
I mean, where else would you put it? There's nowhere else to put your money.
there's been this like tongue in cheek thing I've told family and friends, and it was always a joke, but it's not a joke. It's like, only keep enough money in a bank you're willing to lose. And it's coming to light. The other thing we were talking about is like, what's the, we were talking about this thought experiment is, would you rather have, this was a month ago, so hindsight is a little different. Would you rather have 750K in BTC, or would you rather have $1 million in a bank account?
And that 750 in Bitcoin.
Well, exactly. But does that number start moving away? Would you rather have 500K? You know, at the time, it was like, maybe I'd rather have 900, you know?
Well, right now, like, what if you want to, I mean, I made that decision at the top of the market, right? And now I have like 60, 70% less in dollar terms, but it's still in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Not rugged. Just loss of purchasing power.
So Freaks, as you can tell, I'm not in the studio right now, here with Michael Tanguma. And it's pretty crazy. Like, so again, like, if the Fed doesn't step in today, they let it simmer over the weekend, you wake up on Monday, and I could see Monday being much worse than Black Monday in 87.
There's also a reality that most people have no idea what the fuck's going on right now. Yesterday we were in meetings all day and we didn't realize, and then we started catching up, and then we told other people and they didn't know. So even right now, it's probably,
well, no, CNBC is in like full chaos mode though, right now. I mean, so what we saw in 2008, right? In 2008, we saw, cause like earlier this year, late last year, I decided to go down a bank run rabbit hole, and just start posting random bank run facts. But in 2008, the first bank that got run on was IndyMac in California. It was a small bank in California. And the government came in and they said, don't worry, the FDIC is taking over this bank. You're going to get all your deposits. And of course, people panicked because they're like, fuck that shit. Like, I don't trust the government owning my bank. Like, they're not going to pay me back. So they kept running the bank. Like, as soon as trust erodes, like, the bank run is like really, really hard to stop. So then like over 300 banks got run on in the year that followed. And the new model was organize a acquisition. So like instead of saying FDIC is going to buy the bank and the government's going to own the bank, you say like, oh, Citibank is going to do it in a behind, you know, closed door deal where they organize an acquisition and they handle that and make that happen. My question is like, do they have the capability of actually pulling that off in this kind of situation right now? If the bigger banks, like, what is it like a, if it's like a Deutsche Bank or something that's going down, like, are they actually going to be able to organize that, or do we start to see bail-ins? I mean, we've been talking about bail-ins for a while.
I mean,
I really don't know.
I mean, it's not uncharted territory, but it sort of is uncharted territory in another sense, because obviously, like you just mentioned, we've seen bank runs, we've seen a banking crisis in the last 15 years. But again, because of the reserve requirements that were instituted post 08 and that tie to these treasuries, it's a completely different dynamic. And like you mentioned, like, will the big banks step in and bail out these failing banks? Well, for Silicon Valley Bank, doesn't seem to happen. That's what's blowing across the ticker right now. They had a failed sale. They tried to sell the bank earlier this morning, and the transaction failed. We know,
yeah, credits, but that was like a real sale, right?
Yeah,
like, who would buy? Like, no one's going to buy them at their terms. But like the government like puts you in a room, right? And they're like, you're buying this, and like, you're not paying that much money for it, and we're just going to like wrap this fucking thing up. That's the whole different type of sale, right? Like, yeah. That hasn't happened yet, I don't think.
No, you don't have, I don't think you have the, like, the Geithner.
Yeah, yesterday's
like screaming at people, yeah, moment.
Yesterday's version was Binance trying to buy FTX.
Yeah, did they try and buy FTX?
Remember when Binance first was going to buy FTX and every, like, quelled, like, for a day?
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned like you're surprised Bitcoin's crashing, but I think actually it's obviously down, but I think I would have thought
it
would be
up well.
Thought it would have down much more.
Yeah.
That's like how many more marginal sellers are there after this? And honestly, like, if we're thinking it,
who the fuck is selling Bitcoin?
Right.
It's people that are fucked that are trying to cover all their other shit because Bitcoin's the liquid asset, right? Like, that's what the reality is. It's like, okay, they're trying to cover their debts. So they're selling Bitcoin because it's the only thing that can actually sell easily.
Yeah, and that's that brings us back to like what's actually happening here. What's the mechanics? Like, again, the Fed and the government forces these reserve requirements to force these banks to hold these treasuries. The Fed raises the price of bonds and the interest rates associated to the inverse correlation. So as rates go up, the price of the bonds go down. Again, driving down the value of that reserves. So the banks are forced to bolster those reserves. So they take deposits, buy more treasuries, dump it in there. But if you have a situation like we've had, so like here's where maybe like the crypto industry and Silvergate come into inciting this, where you have a run on Silvergate because people are just worried about their exposure to FTX and they start taking their withdrawals out. Silvergate then has to begin selling off that bond position that they have, their deposits, that drives the price of these bonds down lower. And you have other banks that have to then buy more of those bonds, so they're taking liquid deposits that could be withdrawable away from the rest of their companies or their customers, and then the contagion just spreads to another bank like Silicon Valley Bank. And the same thing happened again. People start withdrawing in mass. Peter Thiel and Founders Fund, like, emailing their portfolio companies yesterday. Like, it's like, what are your thoughts on the ethics around that? Like, I mean, he is extremely like cutthroat and a capitalist, and he has to understand like if he's gonna be the first product, but like sort of incited this.
Well, as long as he's not shorting the banks at the same time, it's completely fine. Like, of course, like it should not be considered unethical or a fucking crime to be concerned whether or not your bank has money. Like, that's the whole point of banks. Like, they're supposed to hold your fucking money and keep it secure. Like, this idea that, like, withdrawing money from a bank because you don't trust them is should be considered a negative act or a malicious act is ridiculous. Like, if a bank is run properly, it should be able to handle withdrawals. Now, the unfortunate reality is it seems like almost every bank in the world cannot handle people withdrawing their own money from the bank at the same time. And so like the real question is what happens when that trust breaks down and people start to realize and the curtains start to pull away, and we end up in an extremely low trust environment. And I think the answer is people start to go to low trust money. They go to trust minimized money, which is Bitcoin. But I wonder how quick that transition happens.
Well, that before we even get to how quick that transition happens, like how fast does this contagion event happen or this unraveling? Like, is this like the gradually then suddenly moment? I mean, Parker and I have been talking in the commons, like looking out for like how, like when is the Fed going to reverse course? And the thing that Parker's always said is something's going to break in the credit markets. Like, we're not going to know what, you're just going to know when it happens. And that seems to be what's happened this week, because something has broken pretty materially in the market for treasuries, and then the deposit and reserve situation of these banks. And I wonder, again, the Fed is typically pretty slow to react. Like, this thing can get pretty ugly and pretty out of control relatively quickly.
Yeah, it's going to be a crazy weekend because nobody's going to move fast enough to do anything today. You have all weekend, and
you can't move anything. Even when the banks are working properly, you can't fucking move things quickly, especially on a weekend. But like right now, like they're not idiots. Like, they're not going to just start processing wires, right? Like, they're going to take as long as possible to process everything.
Yeah, they don't have the manpower. If people were,
like, let's say hypothetically you were trying to remove $1 million from SVB today, right? How quick does SVB process that wire?
I think they've already stopped processing wire.
Well, there you go.
I mean, let's talk about the gravity of SVB specifically, not the gravity, but like the size. It was like earlier this week, it was a bank with $165 billion worth of deposits. So it's no small bank.
Quite a large bank, actually.
Yeah.
I just, like, there's nowhere to go except for Bitcoin. Unless you want to, like, have, like, tons of gold, like, actual, like, pounds and pounds of gold, which, like, you just get, like, delivered to your fucking corporate office. Like, where do you put it?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
But that's the other crazy part, is if you're buying the gold, somebody still has to accept the dollars for the gold, and they have their own bank account, and they have their own issues with it.
Yeah. Yeah, like, how many exchanges are exposed to these banks that aren't going to be able to process purchase orders for Bitcoin because their bank's fucked on the back end?
Which is actually very interesting to think about. Like,
I mean, Prime Trust has got to be fucked, right? Like, right.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Like, they don't just, like, get past this all right, right?
I don't know.
I mean, that's a good point. We say it many times, freaks, but, you know, now more important than ever, you have to, like, make sure, like, do not keep any Bitcoin on exchanges or any kind of funds on any of these exchanges.
Or
withdrawal,
any money.
Withdrawal. Yeah, any money. We just, this in this house, we hold all our money in Bitcoin, and if we get poor, we'll get poor together, but they will not rug us.
You know, this just made me think of it. This is like the thing that you guys talk about, is like reinforces the whole value or why to focus on a circular economy, because you're basically insulated from that. If your goods and services are delivered via BTC, or even if you're buying a cow through gold, like, you don't have the counterparty risk of, oh, well, my savings is sitting in, you know, whatever local bank.
Yeah. No, I mean,
I was just saying in the comments to at Bitcoin, Strike is insulated from Prime Trust, but you should still withdraw from all exchanges.
Agreed. I don't have the comments up today, so I can't see what you freaks are saying, but I mean,
yeah.
Again, going back to the quickness with which the Fed reacts or doesn't react to this, like, what does this do for confidence overall? I mean, like you said, maybe as of right now, a lot of people don't understand what's going on. But I think as this story draws out over the weekend, more and more people are going to become privy to it. And then they're going to basically realize that treasuries are shit coins and that the banks aren't.
So what I kind of think happens is I think we will mostly have bailouts in America, right? So I think what you kind of do is you kind of, my guess is it'll be like Russian, like the Russian dolls. We'll just have like more banks get acquired by the bigger banks, and then the bigger banks will get bailed out. And we can do that because that's our privilege. We can just print our shitcoin. So we'll just like print dollars to bail them out. But then in Europe, they can't do that. So like the contagion spreads to Europe. And they have a greatly inferior shitcoin, and a lot of their debts are denominated in dollars. So what happens in Europe is going to be bail-ins. And bailouts are fucked up because taxpayers pay for it on both sides. You pay for it with debasement, and you pay for it with increased taxes. But bail-ins are like, if you don't wake up to the bullshit and the clown world craziness of like our current financial system and institutions, like after a fucking bail-in, like you're never going to wake up. Like you literally, they're literally tell you, you know, 50% of your deposits are going towards saving this bank and you're never getting that back. And like, that's got to be a massive wake up call to people.
Yeah. It's all, I mean, it's so weird to be, to have been belaboring this point for the better part of 6 years, 5 years now. But then it actually happens. Like, you tell people, like, the banking system is not secure. The dollar is a Ponzi scheme. Treasuries are not as liquid and as safe. Like, that's the other thing. Like, going back to the reserve requirements, the federal government, like, set out this 15% little tranche for these treasuries and defines them as risk-free assets. Like, it's becoming very obvious that these assets, these treasuries, are not risk-free. And it harkens back to like another problem with the federal government and the Frankenstein attempt to like create a sufficient reserve requirement for these banks. Like, you set these reserve requirements with Dodd-Frank like 10, 15 years ago, and you do it in the middle of a zero interest rate policy regime where you don't even have the foresight to envision a future 10, 12 years down the line where Jerome Powell becomes the chairman of the Federal Reserve. We have inflation ripping and he needs to increase the Fed fund rate pretty significantly and rather quickly. And that, I mean, that's basically what happened. Like, with that reserve requirement, you had a kill switch that was going to go off if you ever had the price of bonds go down relatively quickly in a short period or in a short period of time. And that's what's happened. Like, you have this attempt to Frankenstein to create like a perfectly secure system with these reserve requirements. And you don't even think about the Fed raising rates and driving the value of those reserves down significantly. And so that, I mean, that gets to the other thing. Like, we've been talking about it for months now. When is the Fed going to pivot? Like, interest rates are really high. Like, they're probably going to need to print soon. But they have not tamed inflation yet. Inflation's still coming in rather hot. The food sector, the CPI, is up 10%, or was last month in January. It's up 10.1%. Energy is still up 8.2%. Even though CPI is around like 6.4%, it's still really high in like core areas of the economy. And so we find ourselves in a situation where the Fed needs to step in and start buying these bonds to create a floor for the price to stabilize the reserves of these banks. Like, they're going to start printing without having done anything to materially affect inflation.
You just mentioned inflation. We got a text, Germany reporting year over year, 22% food inflation, 70% year over year increase.
Amble stack tats, freaks.
Yeah,
Marty. When did you pay for your blue check?
Oh God, I did it for the. I meant to do it for TFTC, the TFTC account. I didn't realize I was on the money.
You did.
Well, no, seriously, because I wanted to like share, like 10.
You just
clip.
Accidentally did the KYC and paid the credit card and kept pressing submit.
I did. Well, I did that, but I thought I was on the TFTC account.
Marty bent the knee.
I bent the knee. I think you can actually find tapes on RHR saying, like, pretty much a good service. Like, I would pay for it. So it would be hypocritical for me. I mean, what else is happening?
I just thought of that off the cuff.
I did not appreciate the Klaus Schwab.
That's exactly how you felt when you bought the blue check, right?
No, I felt dirty. It did feel dirty, I will say that.
Yeah, I woke up yesterday morning and chose violence and sent out that tweet.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. We don't even have a list of freaks, but we figured what's going on right now is pretty significant.
Why don't you read the dashboard?
We pulled up.
Marty, mempools are pretty frothy right now. Have you noticed?
I did. I saw last night they were backed up like 130 blocks. Still around there.
Yeah. Might not clear. Might not clear again. I don't want to self-jinx myself.
Yeah.
But so I'm what are we pretty bullish on mempools?
I mean, I think we should.
Do you think USDC lasts? When does USDC go under? I've been like itching for USDC collapse before the cycle ends. I guess itching is the wrong word, but I've been expecting one. It feels more likely now.
What bank are they using? What's on their back end? The SVB?
And there's no good ones.
I feel like Goldman.
Who could they be fucking using?
Is it Goldman?
No, Goldman's an investor, right?
I'm not sure. I mean, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. They have many banks. We cited one of the smaller banks they have an account with.
Yeah, but it was like 0.1% of assets held under management.
Yeah. I don't know. Why do you bring up Circle? Like, that's what I was just going to dovetail into. Like, what?
Because there's a lot of idiots that are, they're like, I don't trust the banks, so I'm going to hold my USDC in my Ledger hardware wallet on Ethereum or whatever. And like, they're going to learn their lesson as well. They don't need to learn their lesson. That's just going to happen.
This was the thread last night. We were at dinner and somebody was bringing up how stable coins were going to fix all of this. And I don't know if you follow
it.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And I was on going where you're going. It's like, well, it's the first thing they're just going to rug because they just churn off the stable coin. It's like, we're not going to honor the unit. And then you just have no stable coins in your Ledger wallet.
Yeah. The stable coins are not stable freaks. I mean, like Matt was just alluding to, Circle has a bank account at the end of the day. And if their bank becomes materially impaired, like, they're not going to be allowing you to send your stable coins.
Or similar as Tether.
You can't self-custody stable coins. It's impossible.
Yeah.
It's not really self-custody. It's the appearance of self-custody. But they can just rug the chain out from under you.
Or Tether and treasuries. If there's bail-ins in Europe and half the assets are held there or wherever they're held, and then you want your Tether for whatever your local currency and they can't deliver it, then you have no Tether.
I do kind of feel like, I mean, first of all, freaks, just stay on Stack Sats, just hold Bitcoin in self-custody. But I mean, it would be a fucking ironic if like the whole banking system collapses and the Tether truthers were still wrong and like Tether still goes.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. But again, like Tether was beating their chest last year after rotating out of like corporate short-term paper into treasuries and like that. I mean, when you talk about Tether, I mean, they purport that they're one-to-one backed with a combination of dollars and similar assets with a highly liquid profile, but they rotate into treasuries, which are having like a mass sell-off right now.
Matt, you just made me think of imagine a world where like stable coins are all F and Tether survives, and it's because they were actually holding Bitcoin like as a reserve percentage. Bitcoin rips and they're like, oh yeah, we can honor withdrawals.
I mean, I've always theorized that they've had a portion of Bitcoin as the reserves.
I mean, they've been
because like how do you hold billions of dollars without how do you hold billions of dollars without the US government seizing it and not have some of it in Bitcoin?
Yeah. Something else that came up yesterday was what is this? Ethereum's a security?
Oh yeah. So it's like a weird confluence of events too. Like you have
the bank, the Biden mining tax.
Yeah, the Biden mining tax, you have the KuCoin SEC charges, and that's what Michael was alluding to. And in
Peter Thiel starting a bank run on one of the largest banks in the country.
40% cap gains on the table.
Yeah. No, for Peter to do that, particularly the Silicon Valley Bank, like there's like a big energy around it in Silicon Valley. Like, I think it played a similar role that Silvergate did to the crypto industry, but like for all the tech startups that have proliferated over the last few decades. And it's weird that Peter Thiel, when it does make sense, like he's just like a cutthroat capitalist, like knows that you have to panic first. And so went to all of his portfolio companies, said, you guys better be fucking panicking first.
So what do you think the play is? Like, they're overnight right now. They're sending their, you know, people are like, send it to JPMC, send it to where? Like, what is?
Yeah, but the thing is like, the banks are rightfully so being very risk adverse, right? So like the banks that are, you don't really want these like flighty deposits from, you know, crypto companies or startups or so like banks are naturally rejecting a lot of these customers coming in. And it's like, so where do you send it? Do you like send it to like your personal like Citibank account or something? You send like your fucking startup funds to your checking account?
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, ideally, most of these companies have multiple bank accounts. Like, that's just a natural, you would think.
Yeah, but like with who? I mean, I know a lot of the Bitcoin companies had like, oh, don't worry, we're diversified. We have SVB, Silvergate, Signature. We can move between all three of them whenever we want. Prime Trust.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the banks that bank the Bitcoin industry, all of them seem to be under significant stress right now.
And then I see people recommending Mercury, which is, we've had good experience with it with our Rabbit Hole Recap, but like, is Mercury even a real bank? Like, are they just like a...
They're front end on Evolve, I think. Is it Evolve?
It's near that.
They've been around for fucking 3 years. They have no locations. It's just a fucking website.
It's
and like I see like threads on Twitter. It's like, move your whole startup's treasury into fucking Mercury. They're the safe ones to go to.
But even so, it came out last night, four of the largest banks lost $52 billion in market share. So Citigroup, JPMC, Wells Fargo, and Bank of America. Just Thursday. Do you send your money to those four?
I have no money in banks, really, for better or worse. Just watching my net worth go down with Bitcoin.
Yeah.
I have, yeah, very, like, negligible amount. But yeah, I was playing, we had some donation funds in the OpenSats Silvergate account that were waiting for the recipient who didn't want it in Bitcoin. And we successfully moved it to SVB. Then Silvergate announced liquidations, and then we've successfully moved it out of SVB somewhere else. I'm not going to say where it went, but the whole time I'm like texting the recipient. I was like, can I convert this into Bitcoin, please? Like, please let me just like market buy Bitcoin and just withdraw it. Like, that's like the, if it was my funds, that's what I would do. That's what I did do. It's the only thing that makes sense. I'd rather have it in fucking a mobile hot wallet than like Citibank. Like, I trust like Blue Wallet on like an iPhone without the seed backed up more than I do Citibank.
Yeah.
That's where I am currently.
Yeah, do you think most people understand the gravity of the situation right now? What do you think?
No, they won't until Bandibles happens. That's the problem. That's what sucks about the whole thing. Like, people just will not realize until it's way too late.
Yeah. All right. I mean, try and be like, educate, or not education, but like, provide value to the freeze. Like, what? Like, get your money into Bitcoin if you have a treasury is honestly what I would recommend. Like, if
I think most of the freaks are good.
Yeah. Like, what are the long-term ramifications for, like, the Bitcoin industry if this does happen? Like a lot of the exchanges are dependent on these banks. Like, does it force, like, an incitement of the flywheel, the circular economy, because people just literally can't get Bitcoin via exchanges?
Yeah. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, it's weird timing, right? Because, like, most... normies, like most non-Bitcoiners, can like FTX's timing like really fucked them, because they think Bitcoin is worse than the banks, because they're like, FTX is a Ponzi, Bitcoin's a Ponzi, like everything's a Ponzi. So like they're not actually looking at Bitcoin as an option. So yeah, I mean, I think Bitcoin's price or purchasing power or whatever you want to frame it as, like, we probably stay down for a little bit, and like the on ramps are going to be like all blocked up. Mempools will never clear again. And, but like for those of us that hold Bitcoin and use Bitcoin, like we will be pretty insulated from all the bullshit. And like, at least we won't get a full rug pull.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. We got to learn this lesson again in our lifetimes. First when I was 17 and now 31, happening 14 years after the fact. Like, I don't think people realize that this is a legit contagion event unfolding in real time. Yep, Kramer saying it's going to be confined to these small
they banks. Always say it's going to be confined. Like, that's what they have to say, right? Yeah. They're never going to... That's why all these guys are fucked, right? Because it's like the silver... it's like, what are they supposed to say? They, like, come out and they say, oh, don't worry, like, don't withdraw your money, everything's fine. And then, like, that always triggers panic, because, like, that's just what that people always say right before it fucking goes down.
Well, the SVB guy like really shot himself in the foot. He was like, don't worry, we have enough withdrawals.
He fucked that up.
We have enough deposits as long as you all don't deposit your money or withdraw your money.
As long as you don't withdraw at the same time. Why would you say that?
It's kind of perplexing. It's like, where do you go? What do you do? Because you made a good point. You're like, everybody that is looking at this, they know there's something wrong, but they just watched FTX fall. So they're like, that's not a solution. You just sit there.
Yeah. I mean, there's a world where like, if FTX didn't happen.
Yep.
And we hit 200K by conference day, like people would be flooding into Bitcoin right now. But him and Barry Silbert just decided to just be too greedy, and they fucked the whole pooch.
Was it greed or was it a setup?
Well, FTX is the reason this is happening.
I don't know, yeah. Marty. You have the direct line to Klaus now that you have blue check.
No, like, I mean, if I do want to put my tinfoil hat on, like I said earlier, like yesterday was like perfect. And Michael and I were talking about this yesterday too. Like, if you wanted to ninja launch the CBDC on people, like, this is the perfect setup. You like, I can build up FTX, rug pull everybody, create a domino.
Halt withdrawals.
Create a domino effect in the banking industry, halt withdrawals. You wake up, you freeze the banks for a few days, and then next Thursday, next rabbit hole recap, the government's telling you download the CBDC wallet. Not saying that's going to happen, but... Like,
I'm just waiting for Mandibles.
No, but at the same time, I mean, and then at the same time, you have Biden Mandibles saying, hey, we're going to tax Bitcoin mining 30%.
But you don't even need, yeah, all that can line up by just, without really much orchestration, by just raising rates, right? Because all this fiat bullshit was all built up, and they knew it was all sitting on fucking horrible foundations. I mean, like, because they wrecked everybody, right? Like, they wrecked all these TradFi banks are sitting there with their pants down because they longed like fucking crazy into bonds and just got fucking wrecked with rates going up. And then you have like all these like fiat 2.0 startups that are all just getting fucking wrecked, like the Carvanas and the DoorDashes and the Ubers and the Teslas, right? And all it really took was like Powell just continuing to raise rates. And he was like, I want to like pop the bubble a little bit, but he just fucking like put a chainsaw through it.
Well, that's an important thing to touch on too, because Powell was on Capitol Hill earlier this week and having a congressional hearing. And during that hearing, like he had very hawkish comments. Like the market was a bit surprised because he was more hawkish than people were expecting. So the probability of a 50 bip rate hike next month increased like 20% live as he was on Capitol Hill. And he was extremely hawkish because he doesn't think inflation has come down enough. And so you have a situation where like just days later, like he's potentially forced to completely reverse course. What are the freaks saying? Is that what you're laughing at?
Yeah, resident Tesla shill FTB said, Tesla's not fucked, Matt. They're killing it. They're crushing it, is what he said.
Yeah.
Cope.
Yeah.
Love you, FTB. Yeah, I mean, the Fed killed Kenny and everyone else.
No, I mean, this is like, this could be the gradually then suddenly moment, because if you think if the Fed has to step in and begin printing a shit ton of money, like German food inflation at 22%, food inflation here in the US at 10%, like that could be.
Do they pivot?
I mean, they might have
to. Do they start printing?
They can't raise 50 in 2 weeks.
No, they definitely can't do that, but.
I mean, Marty has the cursed tweet, right? what was it? We were like sitting at 0% and Marty was like, they never will never raise rates.
This is what happens. So Europe's rug.
I want to go back and listen to our Silvergate episode.
Europe's rugged.
When was that?
Europe's rugged.
Yeah, Europe has always been rugged.
And then the banking sector is consolidating. That's what we know.
Yeah, the banking sector just consistently consolidates, right?
Yeah.
And Silvergate isn't fun.
Look up bank runs in the United States on Wikipedia. There's a lot of them. They were mostly acquired by other banks. What?
Say Logan, pull it up.
The Indy Mac one is crazy because I didn't know until you guys talked about it, you know, months ago, and I looked it up, and it's just weird to see in the United States people like lining up, freaked out, because you just think that it could never happen.
You know what happens, right? It's like, you know, the media, they need to downplay bank runs, because if people start to realize that most banks do not have enough reserves to cover withdrawals, like full on panic sets in, and you just cannot stop that loss of trust. Like that loss of trust just keeps going. Now with IndyMac, the anchors, because it was a local California bank and it was a local California TV station where you see most of the broadcasts, the anchors had money in the bank too. So the anchors were like, I gotta fucking report this. But I wonder, like this time around, we have social media, yeah. Right? Like Twitter didn't really exist at that time. You know, there's TikTok now and shit. Like if people start to panic on the banks, like it can just spread like fucking wildfire.
Well, that's
scroll this list, Logan. It's just like it's like 400 banks.
But that's exactly what makes this whole situation crazy, is that we're going to go into the weekend because nobody's going to do anything. It's too short, too fast. And all weekend, what you just said is going to happen. So everybody's going to be texting. People are going to be sharing. It's going to be on TikTok and social media. And like on Mondays, it reminds me of March of 2020, where like it just crashed and then everything, like the Fed had to step in and everything just reversed course.
Yeah.
Next week's going to be insane.
I mean, this is exactly what's going on right now. We don't even have to wait for the weekend. Like, people got word that Founders Fund sent out an email to, like, pull your funds. Like,
that's
anybody on Bitcoin Twitter was talking about yesterday.
Yeah, but, like, that version.
Yeah, but we're in a bubble.
Yeah, we're in a bubble, exactly. And so it happened yesterday where, like, we sat there and then we told
other people. We're basically a bank-run community.
Yeah.
We're a Bitcoin community, but we're also, like, a bank-run community.
Yeah, this is going to be the condensed version of COVID. Like, there was like three, in the terms of media, people getting it. Because remember COVID, it was like 3 months before. And it's going to be, we're just a little bit ahead. And then eventually when that happens, that's when everything chaos ensues. And it's probably going to happen over the next 48 hours. And then next week is when just pure chaos.
Yeah. Well, that's what I jokingly said
next
yesterday.
It's going to be fucking lit.
It's going to be crazy Monday.
The probability of a new pandemic and forced lockdown just went up by a material amount. Because, again, we're going to print into high inflation and, like, handle bank runs at the same time. There's going to be a cyber pandemic or some shit like that in the next few months. I would not rule that out either.
Land, Bitcoin, and beef.
And guns.
I've heard those are good.
I just heard my lady sigh at me from the other side of the room. They're just defensive in a chaos situation. Good to have.
Yeah.
Mandibles.
I think it's obvious we're not in Texas. I was telling Marty that I'd have anxiety if we're about to head back, that if I was here any longer with this going on, that how can I get home?
No, we joke about this all the time. Like, what if we're on a trip away from our wives? Like, it fucking happens and we can't get home. Like, if we were staying over the weekend, I think the probability of that significantly increases.
No, I think this shit moves slower than everyone expects it to. Like, remember COVID? What happened? Like,
famous last
we
word.
Like slow mode into like global financial collapse during COVID. Well, I mean, I feel comfortable saying that, right? Because I'm not away from home, so
yeah.
I think we like slow motion into.
Anarchy.
Like a loss of trust. Into mandibles. I think we go into mandibles and then we come out the other side hyper Bitcoinization.
What stage are we
in
mandibles?
Basically my running theory.
Where are we at mandibles right now?
That's why mandibles, one of the important reasons mandibles is such a good read is because the middle is like such a slog. It's just slow. It's just like people are in denial. Like it just gets worse and worse. Inflation gets worse and worse. Like infrastructure gets worse and worse. Like all the institutions are like just slowly decay and fail. Like obviously there's some big ones that fail. Like it, like these things tend to take a little bit of time as people are naturally in denial. Like 90% of people are just going to be in complete denial. So I don't expect this to be any different.
It's like the version.
And also like people don't realize they have options, right? They feel like they have no options. They don't realize that there are options.
Would you just
and they get paralyzed in decision making?
The shrinkflation thread. You just slowly see decay.
Yeah.
And we're talking the shrinkflation thread's two sided because you have like your goods that are just completely getting degraded, and then you have the service on the top end that's completely screwed. Like you see everything's worse on both ends, and you're like, everything's fine.
Yeah. That's a good point to bring out. Like I wrote the newsletter on Tuesday or Monday. About shrinkflation, that's like Powell and others are like, oh, inflation's coming down, don't worry. But that was really odd. Like that's the conversation I had with Kelly Lannon on Monday sent me down that rabbit hole. I was like, yeah, you mentioned shrinkflation. Like, let me see if anybody else is talking about this. And just literally typed shrinkflation into Twitter. And it was just like people from all over the world sharing examples of it. I'm all pissed off. And so point here being is like they're saying inflation down, they're just making everything fucking smaller. Like, for less.
It just reminded me of what Matt just said, because I remember like 2020 or 2021, I bought a bed, and the next year I bought the same one for another room, and it was a completely different bed. It was the same bed, but it was a completely different bed from like a quality, like broke, it fell apart. It's like that's everywhere, and it's just like continue this like descent into shit. Yeah.
Can't believe Marty paid for a blue check. The end is near.
Matt's very salty about this blue check.
I honestly, seriously thought I was doing it for TFTC, but
he doesn't even take personal responsibility for his sellout.
I mean,
game.
I'll wear it now. I'll wear my verified badge publicly. It was not a speech. Yeah, so I mean,
he thinks he's better than us freaks. He hates us. He hates you. Demon.
It's not true, freaks. Don't believe him. I love you guys.
What do we tell our family and friends?
Yeah, it's like, I'm seriously.
I don't know. Matt, what do you tell your family over the weekend?
Stay humble, stack stats.
I mean, do we tell them to get their money out of the bank? Like, do we say
no? They're not going to listen. You think if I called my dad up and I was like, "Dad, like, I don't trust Citibank. Like, you got to move your funds into Bitcoin and hold self custody." Like, he would just laugh me out of the fucking room. It's like that's a lost cause.
Mr. Odell, if you're listening, I would seriously consider at least moving a portion of your funds in Citibank.
And Citibank's probably fine, right? Should I look into the?
I mean, no. And you talk about like the banks at that.
Look at the camera.
I think Citi's Credit Suisse, Deutsche Bank are probably the lowest hanging fruits, like majors to go down.
Deutsche is definitely going down. Whatever. I think every bank is going to get bank run. And I have the call out in December, so I'm just going to keep retweeting it as each bank gets run.
What'd you say?
I said, bank run on every crypto bank, then bank run on every quote unquote real bank, December 12th, 2022.
Look at the image I just dropped in the chat with Citibank right now.
to be clear, that's not me inciting a bank run. That's just me making an observation.
Voice of God here. Matt, is your shirt rubbing on your mic or something? There's a lot of popping that started happening.
When, just now?
In the last couple minutes.
It stopped.
Thank you, God. Yeah. Did it start again?
Yeah.
Yeah, you might want to unplug it and plug it back in or something like that.
Might be your headphones.
Logan, while he does that, pull up this chart and putting in Slack. And give us some thoughts. What are you thinking, Logan? Were you even paying attention to this bank run?
Do you have money in the bank, Logan?
Unfortunately.
I have to pay my rent.
Okay, I'm using a different mic now.
Sounds good.
The thing I keep thinking about, I really like, there has to be some kind of new market that's created when you think about a circular economy for like goods, gold, Bitcoin. It's like, why would you trust a bank? Like, if you have to accept, if you're going to sell a car or whatever, do you want the $10,000 in the bank? Would you rather take it in a form that you can easily trade or get out of?
Yeah, if I had to sell a car, I would like to sell for Bitcoin.
Exactly. Or if you're just not ready for Bitcoin, it's like, well, you know, gold. Like, there's just like that world where you're not relying on having the counterparty risk of taking the $10,000 and the next day and not being there.
Yeah.
There's something.
This is how Bitcoinization happens.
So there's your city.
Loss of trust across the board.
There's your Citibank, Matt.
I mean, they're doing well than everybody else. Better than everybody else.
All things considered.
Yeah.
They're only down. They're crushing it.
Looks like Bank of America.
I think people are just going to have to learn the hard way. I think there's going to be bail-ins. I think there's going to be bailouts. I think there's going to be a shit ton of bank runs. I think there's going to be a loss of trust in institutions. I think there's going to be loss of trust on a global macro scale in terms of trade between nations. And I think some of that will move towards commodity-backed money, like gold-backed gold or gold-backed money. But ultimately, a majority flows into Bitcoin. It's just a question of timing. And that's basically the thesis. Basically, the thesis is Mandibles, Bitcoin.
Yeah. If you're not paying attention, freaks, you probably should be.
I'll tell you one thing. Like, there, it definitely does feel like they're going to blame a lot of this on Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah. It's, well, that's actually...
To be clear, it's not Bitcoin's fault. Bitcoin is the lifeboat. You can't blame the lifeboat for the Titanic fucking sinking. That doesn't make any sense.
No, that's a very good point that you bring up. Like, we discussed this yesterday. It's going to be important narrative-wise to, like, really beat this message, because they're going to say FTX, Silvergate, SVB, it's all the crypto companies that went down, when actually, like, the signal is this reserve requirement with Ponzi treasuries that really incited all this, and the Fed raising rates as fast as they did. Yeah, that's why it's all weird, because, like, Biden came out with, like, the 30% electricity tax, he had KuCoin get attacked. You had this UCC bill going around in a bunch of states earlier this week trying to redefine Bitcoin.
Yeah, I think it's still so fresh, but over the weekend you'll see, like, some of the messaging come out where it'll make sense of whatever the, like, directional thing that was attempted or is being attempted.
Yeah. Logan, pull up that tweet. Since we were talking about it earlier, Circles Banks. Circles cash held at U.S. regulated financial institutions, Bank of New York, BNY Mellon, Citizens Trust, Customers Bank, New York Community Bank, Signature Bank.
The last three freaks was Signature Bank, Silicon Valley Bank, and Silvergate Bank.
I mean, that's a bank run in itself, right, on Circle. If you don't have enough deposits or whatever treasuries, whatever they're backing it, and you try to get out of USDC, eventually you just can't. They're just going to pause. Well, they'll pause withdrawals, or they'll pause the network.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think we see a USDC rug, and then people will realize that Bitcoin is the only stable coin.
Which, in that world, you could see Bitcoin ripping if you have to move out of all this shit.
The question is, if people wait too long, they might not be able to get into Bitcoin.
Well, with USDC, I mean,
who's going to buy the USDC?
Right.
Well, who's going to accept it? Right now, they're still
accepting. You going to sell them some of your Bitcoin for USDC?
Well, the exchange, like exchanges, Coinbase.
Yeah, but there's still a buyer. It has to be a buyer on the other side, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. Like, how many marginal sellers of Bitcoin are there left? Like, obviously, we had that cleansing event, that clearing event all last year with all the...
I don't know, Marty. Who sells Bitcoin?
Right. Like, I'm trying to make the case, like, Bitcoin could rip from all this as the world is going to shit. You have a combination of people flooding into it to get out of stable coins, and there's nobody left to sell. Everybody who's left with Bitcoin pretty much gets what's going on. Like,
it's the great internal mental battle of every ride or die Bitcoiner. It's like that survival post I wrote on the wake of FTX, where I was like, we have to be prepared for, like, absolute chaos for the next 3 years, and, like, Bitcoin price going down and staying flat and going down. But then also, at any moment, it could just rip up. It's like, there's no way to balance. Because in my head, I'm just like, this thing's the most scarce thing ever. Who doesn't want it, right? But then at the same time, you have to actually think about the macro realities of the situation. And, like, you have to think that most people are fucking idiots and just won't see it so quickly.
Yeah. All right. Mandibles, I know you got to go in 6 minutes. Is there anything happening this week that we should talk about outside of this banking crisis? Is there anything happening?
It's exciting times.
What would you say?
I thought it was cool that Block announced their mining development kit.
Oh, yeah, that was cool. It was like...
So now they have Lightning dev kit, Bitcoin dev kit, and mining dev kit.
But yeah, nothing's really materialized yet. It's just like an outline of like, here's what you want to build. Here's where we're looking for feedback from the community. What would you like to see?
Can I join for a second?
Yeah.
We want to hear your stablecoin take. My stablecoins are going to... We got a...
What's up, freaks?
You see here... Can you explain why stablecoins are going to fix all of this?
That was a gross mischaracterization of a conversation from last night. a very, very sober and clear-headed conversation from last night. Essentially, just like the mask has been pulled off of fractional reserve banking across the system, and fractional reserve banking married to a Federal Reserve-controlled interest rate regime where all of these bank deposits are being foie gras goosed down the throat of these treasury products, then you're going to play total manipulation games with the interest rates over a short period of time and see sort of violent volatility across these interest rates and therefore the underlying principal value. So interest rate go up, principal value go down. Now you've got a forced seller as a result of a bank run. And you know, the flywheel will spin and the contagion will spin. And so the interesting part of why I think stablecoins are like meaningfully different at this point in time is just that it's the only example that we have in the economy right now of a one-to-one backed dollar product.
Yep, but they're all using treasuries.
How do you know it's one-to-one backed?
Well, I have a higher degree of confidence that the stable coins are one to one backed than that my bank deposits are one to one backed.
Matt, I just needed somebody to say stable coins. So,
last time Tanguma came on Rabbit Hole Recap, he looked into the camera and said Silvergate is fine, and now we have Harry looking into the camera saying USDC is one to one backed. So stay humble and stack sats, freaks.
Yeah. And none of this is remotely comparable to owning your own Bitcoin with your own keys.
There we go.
Yeah. So go do that instead. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. I think USDC gets fucking rugged and like the whole stablecoin concept just goes out the fucking window.
To be fair, Alan and Silvergate got rugged as well. I wish they were fine.
Yeah. I mean, that's another thing that was going around. Apparently the FHLB rugged them on a loan. They promised them. Or some shit like that.
Yeah. Everyone's getting rugged. The ruggings will continue until morale improves.
Yeah.
And we switch to Bitcoin standard.
Yeah. Anybody out there?
I'm pretty sure the path to hyper Bitcoinization is just like everyone getting rugged over and over again until like you have no other option but Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why you don't have to actually orange pill anybody. It's like the banks are doing it. Like there's just no other option. When there's no other option, you still have Bitcoin. And like that's hyper Bitcoinization.
We need to get your girl Lionel to get Bitcoin because right now she's sitting there looking wherever she's at. And she's like, is my money okay?
She's like, it's my book.
I wish I had
my
Bitcoin.
My book of prophecy.
I wish I had a Bitcoin.
Yeah.
It's true. Bitcoin. I'm working it's over on 20. It.
Bitcoin's over 20K.
Is it?
Yeah.
We're pumping. What was it? Right. Was it like it was almost at 25K like 2 days ago, right?
Yeah, it dropped down like, no, it's been hovering between like 22 and 24.
Yeah.
The last couple.
So was it like a 20% drop in like 3 days or something like that?
No.
No. It's like 10%.
Yeah. Which is relatively like, kind of crazy if you think about the bank that was, you know, funding. Like at this time when FTX went down, if Silvergate would have been, like the industry's over, and it happened and it's just we're here.
Go.
It's 20K.
All right.
Yeah. It should prove the value prop of Bitcoin to a lot more people. Long term. Yeah,
how many people are sitting there right now? Like holy fuck. the banks are rugging us, who have had limited exposure to Bitcoin. Now they're like, is it true that this asset's really scarce and you can possess it and the bank can't take it? I mean, this, for anybody who's joining us on YouTube because of the title of the live stream, looking to learn about the bank runs, this is a Bitcoin podcast, and this cannot happen in Bitcoin if you secure it properly. If you secure your keys, you're the only person that can rug yourself. Only you can do the rugging. No bank can do it. No third party can do it. This is why we Bitcoin. And again, it feels weird to see this happen. Like, we've been talking about it for years, and now it's happening.
Bitcoin was built for this moment.
People always talk about diversification. If you're a company, you start thinking about, you create a narrative like, do you want 5, 10% of your treasury in Bitcoin, where you have an account, you have an Unchained vault, whatever? You have to protect yourself, whether it's an individual or a business. Even if you don't get Bitcoin, where else do you park your money?
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like,
well, according to Harry, you just park it in USDC. You should be fine.
Yeah. Free say that. Don't. I do not agree with Harry's.
I'm just glad he popped up because I didn't feel comfortable saying who it was, but he was happy to explain it. So, yeah, stable coins are not fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got to wrap, but this is a fun rip. Safe travels back home to you both. Freaks, get your shit in order.
And your family shit in order. Help them.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And stay humble and stack sets.
Send your lady our best.
Yeah, please do that. We're going to win, freaks. Things are going to get hairy. Like Matt said, the ruggings are going to continue until people learn that Bitcoin is the only way. People, I mean, it's only 11:30 a.m. It's not even noon on the East Coast, so there's a lot more day left for this contagion to spread even further. So be aware, if you're a company in the space and you have money in any of these banks, would highly recommend moving your portion, your treasury to Bitcoin.
Just convert it to Bitcoin and just store your whole company treasury in a mobile hot wallet, and you're better off.
Honestly, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah, I would say just it's better to be a little early than a little late. So do whatever you have to do. Help your family figure it out, but you don't want to be the last person through the door.
No, I mean, Peter Thiel recognized that yesterday, and that was essentially the advice that he gave. So take Peter's advice. Like, you don't want to be the last one out the door.
I wouldn't be surprised if it comes out that he shorted a bunch of banks too right before he did that.
Yeah. We talked about this yesterday. He pretty much had some second or third order derivative of a banks going down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He bought some weird option or some shit like that.
I mean, that's what we should have just shorted the banks. That's what we should have done.
Yeah. Bitcoiners short banks. Bitcoiners cause banking bank run.
Okay. There's a bank run going on, freaks. Take care of yourselves, Matt.
All right.
Tell your ladies we said hi.
Likewise to yours. Stay humble, stack sats, freaks. Much love.
Peace of love.